afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hello everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the podcast for all things music, both new and classic. My name's Pat Francis.
Oh, Patty, when we gonna make it to the big time, big?
And that's Gary Lucy. He's in the house. Matt Belknap, the silent partner's in the house. Jimmy Pardo is not here, but he's here. Yeah, we think about him
in spirit.
In spirit, because yeah. Never Not Funny presents the show.
Yeah. So I was still bathing in the afterglow of this. Riffage that you guys were doing about.
We were doing some
E Street Band out there at the Universal City.
Doing some dueling Bruces and some E Street Band enjoying some attractions at the Universal City.
Flip flops on. Put your eyes are up for you. Night in Universal City.
That's apparently, silent partner. Matt Belknap is Bruce.
They can't hear me. This is only for you guys.
Oh, really? They can't?
This mic is not being recorded.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, well, Matt just did a song. That was weird. We could hear Matt's nice song.
It was beautiful.
To the tune of Atlantic City, only he was singing Universal City. I'm going to burp.
Pat, this is our 20th show, and how do you think it's going so far? Not show 20. This is a disaster.
This is the last show, Gary.
Oh,
I think it's going. It's still fun. I hope people are enjoying it.
I'm still having a lot of fun. I feel like we barely scratched the surface on a lot of things. I feel like the shows themselves, I feel like it's like a reverse cake. Like I feel like the middles are coming along nicely, but like the edges are still a little raw. Like, you know, I'd like to firm up the openings and the closings. And,
yeah.
I never quite know what to say at
first. I never know what to say either, so we just fumble through it.
We just fumble through it. But at the end, there's like that toothpick's coming out clean.
Yeah.
It's good.
And we're in the music category on iTunes, because, man, the comedy category, and we're not wall-to-wall funny on this show. We try to be funny, but, I mean, you're up against some heavy hitters over there in that comedy category. And most of the music... Things are dull. So maybe if you want that NPR type of shit.
Oh, yeah. See, like, yeah, I know we're not going to go. What are we going to do? Go like, you know, toe-to-toe with Mark Maron or something like that?
Yeah, no, it's impossible.
But we'll bitch slap like Bob Boylan. All songs considered. Meh. Out of our way.
Yeah, you don't want to, exactly. You're up against Mark Maron. Oh, Mark Maron and Conan O'Brien. And, then we're up against Never Not Funny. That's no good. That's like fighting with your sister.
So, yeah. So,
or your brother, I guess.
We had flipped the script. We had changed.
We went music for a while. See what happens.
Although there might not be any more music. I heard that they're going to stop making CDs next year. Did you hear about this?
I've said this before and Never Not Funny. I believe within 10 years there won't even be music.
I think that's what's going to be. I think they're gonna get it now.
So. Yeah, get it now. Enjoy it now, because there's not even going to be music.
It'll be done.
Enough, though. We have enough.
We do have a lot of music.
Yeah.
But I've been stockpiling it.
Oh, good.
are you telling me that I will not be able to buy a music that I can hold in my hand?
I think that's what I mean. Like, I didn't have time to, you know when you click on an article, they make you click on a lot of other things. So I'll just not know. I'll glean from the headline and then, like, conjecture with the rest.
I really won't enjoy that. And I will also not enjoy and even though I'm not a big reader, if you can't buy books anymore, if it's all Kindle and iPod, it's not going to be the world I want to live in, and I'm probably going to check out.
What? That's it for you?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, now, let's say, like, with these digital musical things, what are those called?
MP3s?
Now, or just like the digital world in general, like, is it somewhere physically... Like somewhere at some point, like let's say, like we could all have a copy of something, but let's say like all the copies got erased. Like, is there one somewhere?
Well, I mean, I can pick up, like I have an external hard drive with all my music in. That's I can pick that up. That's physical. But the liner notes suck on this thing.
Yeah, they got to work that out. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Even when you can get like a digital booklet, it's just not this. It's not the same.
Maybe. Oh, you know what? I want some liner. I want like a digital booklet that like hovers in the air, like my Minority Report.
Oh yeah,
and I can like stretch it and adjust it. And
I like that. Yeah. And change the lyrics around maybe too.
Yeah, make it your own. Why not? That's what it's all about. Yeah. So anyway, well, that's Matt. Why don't you go ahead and hit that one, and I'm gonna
hit it.
I'm gonna study Pat here for a second. See how this affects him. How do you feel, Pat?
I I feel sleepy.
You look a little down.
I feel sleepy.
Would you say you're sad?
I'm not feeling too good.
Oh. Pat, don't... Now, you just expressed suicidal thoughts a second ago. Is this pushing you closer?
Hold on a second. I need to drive the car into the garage and turn it on.
All right. All this talk of getting old. This is a song called The Drugs Don't Work.
Who sings this?
The Verve. Could you tell? It's so full of verve. There. A scientist in England has determined that is the world's saddest song.
A scientist determined that's the world's saddest song.
I forgot the article now, but it's in the latest issue of Mental Floss. The covers, it's the 25 most powerful songs of the last 25 years.
Okay.
And it's about the singer's dad's death and everything. And he tested a number of songs on a number of patients, and that was the one that brought people down the most.
But he couldn't have tested every sad song in the world.
I'm thinking like the data was a little bit sketchy. Like, are you sadder now? Or are you sadder now? I don't know how you determine that. It seems like
what if he wanted this song to be the saddest? So then he played songs that weren't sad.
Oh yeah, maybe it could be like he tilted it, like got his thumb on the scale. Here's the one that he found was the happiest. If you want to start,
same scientist.
If you want to go to about 38 seconds into that one, LDN. This is Lily Allen, and we'll hear the chorus and then like a funny verse. The happiest song features armed robbery of a little old lady,
And it's the most Cockney song.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Now, is the Verve from Great Britain?
Sure.
So this study was done in Great Britain.
I should have mentioned that before.
Okay. Because this guy obviously. What did you say, Matt?
In 2005.
Oh.
So there's been 6 years when we could have had happier or sadder songs.
Probably. So do you have any examples of any happy or sad songs?
I did because you told me in advance. And I didn't put a lot of thought in this. I just kept. I just thought of.
Well, neither did this Fakakta doctor.
Right.
But.
So obviously. But for my. And this isn't the happiest song, but this one always makes me feel good, and it sounds happy to me. And this is
oh yeah, there you go.
It's the car, Shake It Up.
My toe is involuntarily tapping.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. I'm like Robert De Niro in Awakenings. I need some L-Dopa.
Keep the beat. Just shake it up. Is that keyboard? Shake it up. Okay. And then I can think of a lot of poppy, fun, upbeat songs. And then thinking of sad songs was kind of tough. I'm like, well, is it a ballad? Is it a slow song? Is it the lyrical content? Or is it how the song sounds? So I went with this song as my sad song.
Hold on. Oh.
Okay. Wait. No one's rushing you. When your
day is long. Okay. Yeah. The night is yours alone.
Sure you've had enough of this life. Hang on. Don't let yourself go. He's in good voice on this song, Michael Stipe.
Cause everybody cries.
Man, it's okay. It's a song of hope.
It is actually a song of hope.
That is gorgeous. Good. Yeah. That is a good call, Pat. And here's sad for you. I remember when that came out, I remember declaring, at last, our generation has its own bridge over troubled waters.
Very good, Gary.
And it does. You know, it's kind of like that. Yeah.
Unfortunately, when that song came out, I'm sure there were a million hack musical comedians who were singing Everybody Farts. Right? They just made up, you know.
Sometimes.
You have a burrito. I mean, just something terrible. Matt,
People my age, I'm 37, probably mostly associate that song with Brenda and Dylan breaking up on 90210.
Oh, yeah.
That was just indelible, that image of them. There's a montage after they break up. They're wandering around. It's very, very sad.
I remember in 90210 where like Steve was bummed out at the Peach Pit and he was listening to some Losing My Religion.
And his hair plugs fell out.
And it's, what's wrong?
Maybe it was Losing My Religion.
Oh. Huh.
Well, either way, I'm going to say that 90210 was a cash cow if they could afford to license either one of those tunes.
No. Yeah, I think it was Losing My Religion.
Oh, well, either which way. But well, I remember when Dwight Schrute was bummed out listening to Everybody Hurts in His Car. That was a good one.
Speaking of which, REM has a 2-CD best of coming out, 40 tracks. If you don't own any REM, you get this. You don't have to buy any REM. If you just want a nice something to, if you are a big REM fan and you just want something to keep in your car all the time, I would pick this up, new REM.
Have you heard those? I think they've been streaming the new songs on there.
No, I haven't heard. There's three new tracks too. How are they?
I have not heard them yet either. I'd be interested. I should look at the track list, like the percentage of post Automatic for the People songs on there.
It looked like it was pretty equal.
Really?
Yeah, I thought so.
No, well, no, it's great. It's an overview. That's really good, you guys. You guys really kept at it there.
You think when they went to Warner Brothers, it was more?
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't as indie.
And after Bill Berry left, it was kind of lost their way by their own admission. But there's still nice moments on
it. Yeah, there's still 3 to 4 solid tracks on all their albums, I think.
Here's what I think is both the happiest and saddest song. Have you heard of a fellow named Robin Hitchcock?
Like, sure, yeah,
eccentric English singer songwriter.
Hello.
He's here with us today. He loves to sing songs about fish and about ghosts and things like that. He was in this great group called the Soft Boys in the late 70s, early 80s with this guy named Kimberly Rue. And who was like a songwriter in his own right. But you know, when you're the main guy, you don't want some guy bringing in his own songs and stuff like that. Like, I'm the boss around here. We sings about fish and we sings about ghosts. So I don't want your upbeat little ditty. So Kimberly Rue starts his own little group. He's got, he's not the singer. He has this girl singer. And it's a little song you might recognize that goes a little
We had a ramp up on Robin Hitchcock and this isn't even.
No, but this is Kimberly Rue's group.
Okay, I gotcha.
You know this one.
Oh, I do know this one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at Matt's going for it. Now Matt's happy.
I wish this was a video right now.
I used to think maybe you love me. Now baby, I'm sure.
So you bring that down. So you can imagine what a knife in the heart this is to Robin Hitchcock every time he hears, like, I could add some of that sweet Sunshine Jack to, every time this.
This was his band, but he wasn't the.
Yeah, Kimberly Rue wrote the song. He was in this band. He had this band called The Waves. They got this gal, you know.
They are a one-hit wonder.
They tried a few other things, but yeah, it didn't quite catch on. I understand that song got big again after Hurricane Katrina. Like people were.
Is that true?
I think yeah. I should bring in these clippings and not.
You should. I don't know what paper you're reading that has reports of Area 51 and whatnot in it.
Make believe news. You know what was the hot spot for aliens? Area 54. That's where they. It's like the disco aliens. Studio 54.
Studio 54.
How did that British guy miss this one when he was looking, doing his research?
Hold on. Oh, let's hear it. Oh, man.
Oh, this would have sent him crazy because it's sad songs, but it's a happy song.
That was a good call.
Elton John is on. He's on my list of people I've never seen live.
Oh, you should get that done while you still got a chance.
Well, we already bought the tickets. We're going to see him in Vegas. I think he's the Red Piano show's done, and now he's doing the $1 million piano.
Oh my goodness!
So
it's like one of those dinner mystery things where like somewhere in this audience.
Yep. Davy Johnston and Bernie Taupin have been murdered. Nigel Olsen did it. Go ahead.
Hillary Swank was great in Million Dollar Piano.
Oh man, wasn't she? Oh, it
she was. And then she fell over and she hit her neck on a piano bench.
That girl's got range.
Are there any bands or artists you've never seen live that you want to see live? Like, there's two that I never got to see and I won't ever get to see them, and it was the Ramones and Queen.
Oh yeah, boy, I wish I could have seen Queen. You know, that's a provocative question. I'm sure there must be some, and I'm gonna muse on it while we. In fact, you know, let's just while we're on the topic of live songs, why don't we just kick to a rock concert right about now? What do you say?
Whoa.
You wanted the best, and you got the best. The hottest band in the world, Kiss.
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Star Child. That's right, Pat. It is our live show. People demanded. They want to know, what are some of your favorite live recordings and or live music experiences? Well, wonder no further, because we are there.
Now, Gary admittedly has said that he loves to go to concerts, but
yeah,
he has told me that he does not care for live albums, per se.
Just because it's just like, you had to be there. I used to love him as a kid because, like, right. Oh, you get a lot of the hits.
Right.
But then I'm like, oh, this is crap. I want to hear the studio as an instrument.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I have come to enjoy live albums more in the past 10 years as I come into things late in life, losing my virginity. I never understood the U2's Octung Baby when it first came out, and now I love it. But in 91, it escaped me. It took me 10 years to say, whoa, hey, all right.
It'll happen though. You'll meet a special
so,
lady.
I do like live albums, and
there's
some great ones. I have some of my favorite ones. And we're gonna start with one of the bands that I said I never got to see before. This is Queen from Live Killers, and this is they used to open with a fast version of this song that you know, but this is a fast version of it.
Oh, it's here.
I bet you have no idea what this song is yet. You will in like 2 seconds.
Wow. This is cool.
Yeah, isn't that cool? That's not the version that you used to sing at the pep rally while the stupid jocks would dribble a ball around. This is the version with balls that you would listen to in your bedroom when you weren't dating anyone.
I had a personal montage there, like, while that was going. Like, got in good shape and did my taxes. It was powerful music.
This might be a treadmill tune.
Yeah,
I have to go in my treadmill tunes, because that one comes on and you're gonna run.
And it reminds me of one of my favorite American Idol moments. You see what, like, Roger Taylor and Brian May were guests, and they were talking to the contestant was this kid Ace. Like a good-looking kid named
Ace. Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember
Ace. And he's like, yeah, I got an idea how we could arrange this We Will Rock You. Instead of, you know, that boom, boom, chow, how about we give us like a boom, boom, chow, ta, ta, boom, boom, ka. And they're like, no.
No.
How about you go fuck yourself, Ace?
Yeah.
Go get on the float at the Hollywood Parade.
I will give you a capital Q, and that'll be the reason why we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So that's We Will Rock You fast version.
That is awesome. Way to go. I wanted to play you a tune, and this is like probably the longest clip we've ever played on the show. It's going to be about 2 minutes 15. Why don't you go ahead and
it's going to be about 8 minutes 30 seconds.
8 minutes 30 seconds, but it's really
two
good.
2 minutes 15. Okay.
Everything I understand about rock concerts comes from this song.
Okay.
They used to play it constantly on the radio on KUM, on KOME. And I thought, okay, this is what goes on at a rock concert. It's like, it's a party. It's kind of a sexy party. But there's also like some interactivity to it. And there's like, it's kind of a secret society. You kind of learn things.
Is this Jimmy Buffett?
This is the Pat Travers Band.
Oh, boom, boom.
Yeah, you know.
Out the lights. Yeah.
So we'll just, first he'll explain how it goes, and then there'll be some participation.
here.
All right.
This is an old rhythm and blues boogie woogie number called Boom Boom. Out go the lights. All right. Hey. Okay, now there's an opportunity in this song for us all to do a little shouting out here, okay?
Hold on, hold on. I gotta get a pencil. Okay.
Boom, boom.
Right?
I
okay.
Want you all to answer me back with.
Out go the
lights.
All right. Okay.
Right? I'm actually going to...
When you sing, out go the lights. Let me see those hands up above your head.
I'm going to split the crowd. Gary, you over there. Matt, you on this side.
Okay.
Way up high, way up high, above your head.
This is the only Pat Travers song I know.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's not an original tune of his.
You don't know snorting whiskey and drinking cocaine?
Maybe.
Okay. Matt's on my shoulders now with his top off, waving it.
Someone just punched me in the face because I bumped into him.
All right, you see how it goes now, people? One more time. Here it comes around again.
Do it at home.
Now, kiddo, I'm ready to go. If I find a boy, don't you know? If I get a rip by sight, boom, boom, what is it?
Out go the lights.
So when you meet a lady,
yeah,
you punch her a couple times,
right.
And then it's party time.
This is Ralph Cramden's favorite song.
Exactly.
I'm going to predict that Sharon Houston actually sang it out loud.
I think maybe, yeah.
In her car when she was listening to the podcast today.
Thank you, Sharon Houston, for that beautiful review you wrote on iTunes. And everyone, please check out her great podcast called Daytime Justice.
That's our show.
That's our show. But, yeah, and thank to everybody who's writing reviews and liking us on Facebook.
Yeah.
We do it for the fans, Pat. I don't know about you, but I do it for the fans.
Hey, look, man, I don't do it for the cash.
That's for sure.
This is my bucket list to have a podcast and go 20 episodes talking about music.
What's, so, who will rock us next?
Now, my next band, if I say the band, you're going to say what the live album is, but you will be wrong.
Okay, go ahead. We'll try it.
The band is Kiss.
Alive 2.
No.
Ah!
It's not any of the Alive albums.
What?
Because I know everyone loves Kiss Alive and Kiss Alive 2, mm-hmm. but those have been tinkered with in the studio.
Sure.
Admittedly, those guys admit it now. That, oh, no live album's really live. All right,
Star Child, has this been overdubbed in any way?
Oh, let me tell you something. There's no overdubs on this album.
Really?
Yeah.
What is this master tape box labeled overdubs?
That's just a lot of pictures of Gene Simmons getting blowjobs.
Oh, that's Jen. You hide him in there. That's
yeah, that's
good.
Polaroid.
That's really good. Anyway, as you were saying, so, I'm sorry, no further questions.
Thanks. This is in 1996. Kiss did MTV's Unplugged.
Really?
And they did it with their lineup at that time.
Did you just say 1976?
1996.
Okay.
Do I keep saying 76?
Anyway, add 20 to everything Pat says. Go ahead.
And they did it. It was with their current lineup then, which was Bruce Kulick on guitar and Eric Singer on the drums. But then at this show, Ace and Peter joined them, and then this is what propelled them to do the reunion tour.
Okay.
But this song I'm going to play does not have Ace and Peter on it. And this is Kiss Unplugged. It's a song called Coming Home. And when I saw this, I was like, wow, this gives Kiss credibility in that they can play and can sing. Because you could hear, it wasn't, there was no trickery. This was like acoustic and just play it. I love it. Hear that bass? Hear Gene on bass? To me, I love that because I'm like, oh, wow, look, Kiss can play and sing.
That's not cool. What song was that?
That's called Coming Home, and it's actually off their second album, which is, what is the second
album? Is that Dressed to Kill? Or no, that's
Dressed
Hotter
to Kill. Hotter Than Hell. Yeah.
Wow.
It's so funny. When I remember Pardo and I were living together at the when this aired, mm-hmm. and we thought this was a brand new song.
Wow.
We didn't remember. We're like, oh, Gene and Paul are writing like they never, like they used to write. Yeah. And then we go, oh, that's on their second album. Weird.
That's, yeah, I always say, like, you know, that's why the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a mockery and a sham of a mockery without kissing.
Yeah.
Because they have amazing songs.
And it's I do not like the Gene Simmons Family Jewels series because it's so phony. But I did see an episode once where his son was writing a song and Gene picked up a guitar because you forget. Gene is like, you think, oh, he wants to have sex and he's a businessman. But he picked up the guitar and he's playing guitar and he's helping write melody and you're like, oh, yeah, the guy, you forget that he does music. And
but
he's not the greatest. They're not the greatest songwriters. The lyrics are juvenile, but, you know.
They're tapping to what the people like. Yeah. What you didn't see was he had the kid sign over the rights to the song, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's all business. It's all
also,
business.
In that same scene, he immediately started talking to his son about a band name and copywriting a logo. And I'm not kidding.
It's very important.
Yeah.
It's very important. It's marketability.
Yeah. It should be one word, blood, and we will call it.
The last great concert I saw, Pat? Thank you for not asking. That is...
Have you seen any great concerts recently?
Oh, man. A couple weeks ago, beginning of November, it was my pleasure to see the great supergroup Wild Flag, who are just having a moment right now. This is... There's some bootlegs of, you know, floating around on the web, but I think if you heard them, you would think, oh, this doesn't sound good to me. But this is like... This is a song that they do a lot as an encore, and I think you will recognize it.
All right.
I'm trying to tape this illegally. Sorry, that was their album is amazing. It was such a great time. It was so like what I like about Wild Flag is that it like celebrates like, you know, music and how it sound is the blood that connects me and you is one of their lyrics and they seem like they're having so much fun, which makes me think like Corinne, the other girl from Sleater-Kinney, who's not in this, she must have been a drag because they're
bring us down because
now it seems like they're having fun. But I wrote an amazing review for this show on that you could read on Dirty Laundry and also on the Merge website. They enjoyed it.
Is the song you just played? Is that from the actual show or is this from another show?
That's from another show, but they did play it. And then this gal Eleanor Friedberger came on stage, who's in this great band called the Fiery Furnaces.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, when I saw her shaggy brown mane, I thought, oh god, does Zooey Deschanel have to ruin everything? But then it's Eleanor Friedberger, woo,
it's not Deschanel.
No, but anyway, so that was a good time. Wild Flag.
I call her Deschanel.
Do you now?
Yeah,
well, that's inappropriate.
Let me ask you something.
It's a hard time for it.
When you go see a band and they do a cover song, do you like that or do you not like it?
I love it because it's like about like, oh, this is you know, it's like it's kind of like a rite of passage, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, I recognize what they're playing, like if it's kind of obscure, or if it's like, oh, I, you know, they like what I like. So
see, I like it if the band only has one or maybe two albums and they need to fill out the set list.
Right.
But if I go see, you know, even when I go see Springsteen, he plays 2.5, almost 3-hour show.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's playing, you know, 2:45. I'm like, yeah, come on, man. Play Jungle Land or something cool that you wrote.
I know. We're on the clock. So. Yeah, exactly. And especially, yeah, if it's just some of those like bar bandy kind of songs.
Right.
But, yeah.
All right.
What else? What do you got?
Well, okay. Jeez. This is always when people talk about live albums, people always talk about this album. It's not Frampton Comes Alive.
Oh, so it's Live at Leeds.
It's Live at Leeds.
It is. Oh,
yeah,
man,
it is.
Oh, man.
It's from 1970. It's The Who Live at Leeds. I picked a track which I love this track, and I think it's a song that people don't know. It's called Tattoo.
Oh, good.
Yeah, this is a great song, and this will be a little bit longer of a clip too.
My brother, we're talking to each other about what we makes a man a man.
And the drums are crazy.
Rain or blood of a man you were born, we just couldn't understand.
That's Pete.
He said that only women wear long hair. For me and my brother, borrowed money from mother, knew what we had to do.
They're gonna go get tattoos.
We went downstairs past the barber and gymnasium and got our arms tattooed.
I love the lyric how they walk by the barber because they don't get a haircut.
Yeah.
They walk by the gymnasium because they're not going to pump up.
Nope.
And they go and they get a tattoo.
That'll make them
welcome to my life tattoo. That's a great tune.
That is great. Live at Leeds is a different thing altogether. That is so far and away the greatest live rock album, I think. You know, apologies to Cheap Trick or Frampton or whatever, but it's, I love it so much. It's just, I don't know, what is it about it? I can't tell.
The tapes were rolling on a great night.
Yeah.
It's probably luck.
Yeah.
A lot of luck, but there's a drum fill there, and I think Keith Moon even makes a mistake. There's like a mistake in there, which now, you know, Kiss would have fixed it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, but Live at Leeds is really, really strong.
Do you have any tattoos?
I don't have any tattoos. I'm not into them. Do you have any tattoos?
I was going to get one. I had my money. I was all set. And I went to the tattoo shop. I was going to get that, Pablo Picasso version of Don Quixote.
Uh-huh.
And
where were you? What part of your body were you going to get this on?
Much long because it's a big tattoo.
Yeah, sure.
No, my arm. And it was, I went to the place. This is on Burnside Street in Portland. And I'm like, I'm ready for my tattoo. And they're like, do you have an appointment? I'm like, no. I'm like, okay, well, you need one. And so I went away. And then I thought, like, oh, maybe this is a sign that I'm not supposed to get a tattoo.
So you never got it.
I never got it.
Now, if your son got a tattoo, would you enjoy that?
I don't know. It's all different for kids. You know what I wouldn't like if he got
if he got a tramp stamp?
If he got a tramp stamp, that's fine. I wouldn't want him to get those big hoops in his ears.
Dude, they're called gauges, I think.
Right.
Is that what they call them, Matt? Yeah, please.
you have size 8 ones. Why don't you know?
Yeah, that's those. I do not. I don't get those at all. I mean, I don't know if that's the old man in me, but that's mutilating your earlobe area.
And I don't like the pierced.
What'd you say?
It goes back if you take them out. They go back.
No, it doesn't go back. It hangs down.
No, but if eventually it'll go.
No, I've seen kids with them out, and it's just hangy flesh. I threw a football through one.
Maybe
at a carnival.
Maybe that could be our charity. Like, we'll help those kids.
Help those kids.
Yeah, like, get that fixed later. But
Ear train.
Ear train. Wow. Matt. All right, you got another clip for us?
Yeah. This, you know, I like to make a lot of fun of you, Pat, because you're ridiculous.
Sure.
No. And no, but you know what?
I'm redonkulous.
Seeing a lot of nostalgia acts at at the Canyon Club or whatever. But,
yeah.
You know,
Quarter Flash.
I went in the summer of 2001. This is a pre-9/11 mindset I had at the time. But I still thought, you know, I got one of my favorite all-time bands, like you were asking before, like anybody that you want to see before you die, this is probably going to be my last chance. And I was expecting them to, like, speakerphone it in and, like, look at each other. They blew me away. Roxy Music was not there to sell T-shirts. There was T-shirts on sale, but they were there to rock. And they delivered it. They were on point. Brian Ferry had, like, you know, a lot of shiny suits. And this is how great the show was. They did not play more than this. And nobody cared. It was just
that's good. That's cool.
It was so great. They played everything else. And it was at the Greek Theater. It's a great place to see a show.
How do you not play more than this, though?
They would just – everyone was like so thoroughly entertained. Maybe they waited until everybody left and then they played it secretly. Yeah. But this is what they closed with. And like 50 like dancing girls came out with those big like Vegas headdresses on. And and this is also how they closed out their 1976 live album, Viva. It's Do the Strand on Rock Solid.
It's a new sensation, a fabulous creation, a dance of resolution, to terminate revolution. We'll be right back.
the table. Quackinos play so legal. Slow and gentle.
The word on the street is they're mounting another tour with Eno this time, so I gotta go back. So that, but yeah, that was good times.
Who are the band members, in case people don't know who Roxy Music is like
you
me?
You got your Phil Manzanera. You got your Andy McKay. You got your, Phil Thompson there. And you got Brian Eno. And you got your Brian Ferry.
Excellent. Brian Eno. People know him because he's produced some U2 stuff.
U2, Coldplay, every damn thing. Talking Heads. You name it. Anyway. Oh, man. I'm spent.
All right, folks.
Go ahead. What do you got?
This album came out in, it came out maybe 3-4 years ago. But it's from a show from 1981. And they finally released it. It was an MTV concert, originally aired on MTV as a live concert. Mm-hmm. And it is Journey, live in Houston on the Escape Tour. This is a great live album because, like some of the best live albums, it takes place at one show. I don't like the live albums that are cobbled together from their best performances. This is one show. This is at their height. The voice... Everything is clicking here, and this is a longer clip because we're going to hear Steve Perry's going to intro this song with a little stage patter.
Love it.
And this is great.
Listen, now listen. I called Neil up the other day. I says, how you doing? He says, I've never felt so good. I says, the other night I talked to you, you were feeling down in the dumps. What's your secret? He says, I found me a lady, and son, right now I am stone in love.
Yeah.
That story does not have the ring of truth.
Lacks verisimilitude.
Oh, listen for some cowbell.
Cowbell. Cowbell.
Lots of it.
In my youth, I do recall those were the best times. We still owe all.
This voice is crazy. So if you've never seen Journey in their heyday, don't see this Filipino singer. Don't just go buy Live in Houston. It's on DVD and CD, and you'll love it.
I love the Filipino people, and I love Tagalog is a beautiful language, but they're, you know, they do have problems with their P's and F's. So.
They do.
Do you want to hear papally? No, you didn't. Just by,
Wow, I love it.
So how many songs do you have?
I got two more.
Okay, you got two more. I got a play out, and I got two more. Okay, this is good. Let's go to one of the other classic live albums of all time. If you would cue this up, Matt Belknap, to about the 110 mark.
Live at Leeds.
Oh, how'd you know? Okay. It's Johnny Cash live at Folsom.
Oh, absolutely.
This is the funny Johnny Cash.
Yep.
And let's see.
Is it a boy named Sue?
No, it's even funnier. What do you hear?
A girl named Bob.
In the garbage disposal of your dreams, I've been ground up, dear.
I got vegetables all over this one.
On the river of your plans, I'm up the creek. Up the elevator of your future, I've been shafted. On the calendar of your events, I'm last week. I've been washed down the sink of your conscience. In the theater of your love, I lost my part. And now you say you've got me out of your conscience. I've been flushed from the bathroom of your heart.
I think we heard an entire song on Rock Solid.
That was like half of a song. But that's... I don't like that he pulled the punch and didn't say toilet there at the end.
Yeah. He can say it in prison, right? What are those guys going to do? Okay, everyone back to death row.
The warden's monocle pops out. That is most inappropriate. I love that. I love me some Johnny Cash.
Yeah, my dad had that album when I was a kid. I remember him listening to that album.
Have you ever performed at a prison?
No, I would never.
Could you imagine?
I don't perform for the troops.
Tough crowd.
And I don't perform for prison. I don't perform anywhere where my life could be in danger.
That's a good rule.
You know, let someone more appropriate do that, like Gwar. Them go do it.
Imagine.
Gwar goes to prison.
Gwar on a U.S. USO mission with Mario Joyner or something.
Let Henry Rollins, tough guy. Has he ever gone over to entertain the troops, Henry Rollins?
I don't know what he does.
Badass and tough.
That guy wears me out.
That would require him to be entertaining.
Ooh, that's true. That's true. Poetry slam.
Come back. I have some more poems about push-ups.
The troops come back with PTSD because of Henry Rollins' performance. All right, Gary had mentioned this before, and this is, I think, what makes a great live album is if that's the first time you ever heard the band, and if a live version of a song becomes a hit, and that's like, you know, Kiss Alive had Rock and Roll All Night. That even then, that was a studio version. Mm-hmm. The one that's known is the live version, and the Frampton songs from Frampton Comes Alive. Those were the hits. And I Want You to Want Me from at Budokan is the version that people know. But so this is another song from Budokan. It's called Lookout. And it's probably a song a lot of people aren't familiar with unless you own Budokan. And let's hear a little bit of it. Got a little bit of a ramp up here.
There's a brand new one. It starts with Mr. Bunny Carlos.
Sit down, you Japanese children.
It doesn't get much better.
No, it's a great tune. I saw a documentary on them. They said when they first went to Japan to play Budokan, they didn't realize, like when they got off the plane, Rick Nelson was like, wow, someone famous must be here. And like, no, that's for you guys. What? And so when they were at the hotel, they couldn't go near the windows because all the kids were down below looking up. Mm. And if they came to the windows, the kids would back up into traffic.
Oh, no.
And so they didn't want anyone getting hit by cars. So they had to stay away from the windows.
I've never been to Japan, but I would be disappointed because I would just assume like every American who goes there is like crazily famous.
Yeah,
But it's probably not for everybody.
I don't think it happens like that.
I should record some cool records and then see what happens.
But if I might be part Japanese because when I like something, I like it for life. And that seems like how they are. They don't forget, you know, the bands. So
I like you Japanese style.
Yeah.
Teppanyaki. That's forget what I said earlier about when guys like Springsteen do like standards or whatever. Like,
yeah.
How's that? Ain't That a Shame? Treat you on that? Oh man, that's the best.
I love that. Oh, yeah. I love it. I don't like when they play it in concert now because I've heard it so many times.
Yeah, it's not surprising.
But he's got a nice drum solo. I know drum solos boo, but he's got a nice drum solo that ramps up to that on at Budokan.
So here's, I'd like to do, I always like to time travel to the 90s, and I always like to bring things down a little bit. But this is one of my best concert experiences of all time. This was summer of 97. I'm in the throes of like my deep Weezer mania. Like I listen to Pinkerton like 12 times a day, and Pat's choking up already.
No, I had a little schmilkus.
And as it turns out, the Weezer fan club was headquartered in Portland. It was run by these sisters, these two redheaded sisters, Michael and Carly. And Weezer was in town. They're opening for No Doubt May 27th at the Rose Garden.
It's a good bill.
It was a good bill. And so Michael and Carly throw this party for all the fan club members, and we go and. This was the best party I've ever been to because I was the coolest guy there by a wide margin. You have never seen such a collection of nerds. Wallflowers. There was like less eye contact here than like at a NAMBLA convention or something. I was like Rodney Dangerfield. Like, how are you doing there, Dracula? You know, just like giving kids headlocks.
That guy's
like that.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it wasn't like I was the oldest guy there. Sure, I was 29. I was probably too old to be there, but there's a lot of mothers there to like drive the kids to the concert at the Rose Garden.
Did you hook up?
I did. Well, I did.
You did hook up?
No, I hooked up a ride to the Rose Garden with a nice mother and a ticket because I didn't have a ticket because it was sold out. Right. And they, oh, here you are. You seem nice. And happy story, sad. This was May 27th, July 9th. Michael and Carly and their younger sister, after a show in Salt Lake following the band to Calgary, they died in a car wreck. It was so sad. And they were so nice. And they
this should have been the saddest song ever.
I know. What kind of is it? So the band recorded this the tribute to them, and it's called Michael and Carly on Rock Song.
Is this live?
I think this is a studio.
Turn it off.
Oh, yeah. How many of you like tragic young people dying?
Go faster.
I had two best friends. They lived on the block wearing gold bands. Once you get on my bones, fed me ice cream cones. Once you get on my happiness, wouldn't it be alone? Back in Wilson High, to have these two best friends. Till the school bus came and took my friends away.
We love you, Michael and Carly. Thank you for everything. Thank you for giving me cutsies at La Luna one time when I needed them. Okay. Weezer show. What do you have?
I will play out with if you're a fan of 70s hard rock. Mm-hmm. I don't even say heavy metal with this band. It's more hard rock. This is one of the seminal live albums. Also,
Skynyrd.
No.
Frampton.
Nope. This is a band I love from Great Britain. They're still touring. They still release an album like every 2.5-3 years.
Moody Blues.
Nope. I beg people to seek out UFO.
Oh yeah.
This is an album called Strangers in the Night. Sure. This is a long clip because we get a little of the chorus, then we get a Michael Schenker blistering guitar solo.
Yeah.
They incorporate the city into the lyrics.
Oh, nice.
So
I love that.
Let's play Lights Out from Strangers in the Night.
They're riding mechanical bulls in here.
Lights out, Chicago.
Woo! Woo-hoo! There is Chicago, and he just said Chicago.
That was so cool. But I think that was recorded at the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago. And Strangers in the Night is awesome, top to bottom.
That is, I have this friend Robin who gives his highest rating and give things like that is TKA, total kick ass, and that is TKA if ever.
And it's
heard
so funny, like UFO is just that band that just. They didn't get in there in time. So we have your Iron Maiden, your Judas Priest, your Scorpions, and UFO is just like the ugly stepchild that didn't get in there. And for my money, I think they're better than all of those bands.
And I think like if those like more successful bands, if they were in an elevator with UFO or something, I think they all know that, but they don't say that. And they're like,
right.
Oh, hi, UFO. How's it going? Oh, it's pretty good. We just played the Canyon Club or whatever. Oh, that's good.
Great for you guys, Key Club.
Yeah.
Hey, Troubadour. And that it makes me so mad that people now grab Anvil. Hey, let's take Anvil out as our opening act.
Yeah.
Fuck Anvil. Take UFO out and let them play the big sheds for a summer, for God's sake.
I really wish we would have played out on that now. because that kicks out so much ass. But I do have I have prizes. That's something.
What?
Yeah. The remember back during our Best Albums You Never Heard show, and my number one was this band called Game Theory.
Sure.
And the leader of Game Theory, he wrote this book called Music: What Happened. Amazing. Reference book, you know, you just good like reading, like, oh, I wonder what he thinks of this song. Just really good stuff. They're having a second edition release party, and it's going to be December 4th at the Starry Plow in San Francisco. And it's, get this, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's an early show, so you can bring the kids. Costs $5. This is Scott Miller. He never plays anymore. Yeah, so this is like a rare opportunity to see like an American genius in action. And I can't say enough. We're going to play out with, I saw his band Game Theory so many times. This is a show I was at in 1986 in Berkeley, California, at the Berkeley Square. And if you would like a signed copy of Music What Happened, here's the quiz question. This is a song called Girl with the Guitar. And it's about somebody we know. It's about a rock star. She lives in L.A. She's got a guitar. Her eyes are transparent brown, ground zero, as he sings. And just go to our Facebook page and tell us who you think he's singing about, or, you know, make something up. And we'll pick a winner from that. And maybe there's some clues here in his ramp up to the thing about what this song is about. Let's hear this. Girl with the Guitar.
Game there's care. A story behind this one, but we'll skip it.
What?
What? That didn't help at all.
Oh, no. Pat, is a good show. Thanks for doing it.
You too, Gary. Who's going to sign that book? You and I, or will this guy sign it?
No, he'll sign it.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for listening to Rock Solid, everybody. Love you. Bye.
See you next time.
Her eyes are dangerous to standing around. 12 miles down. Transparent brown. Ground zero. And when you ask for her, she's not around. Oh, will she come down? From Tinseltown. I don't know. Don't know. Girl with the guitar says, oh.